Father, we give you thanks for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for life and life more abundantly. Lord, we thank you, God, that you have given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And Lord, you have really been a good, good dad to us, a good, good father. And so, Lord, we just bless you this morning. We thank you, God, that you not only saved us, but Lord, as John says, behold, what manner of love it is that you have called us your children. Lord, you have made us to be heirs of the Father and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Lord, you have elevated us, O God, to the place of significance. Lord, you have given us new identity. That, Lord God, we're no longer seen by our old ways of functioning, our old ways of thinking. But Lord, now you see us new and refreshed. Lord, you see us, O God, as being covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, you see us as being new creatures. And so, Lord, we worship you this morning. We give you thanks and praise. And Lord, we ask, O God, even to continue to minister to us. Lord, even as your word goes forth, may your spirit be bringing life. May your spirit be touching us. Lord, we ask this morning, O God, for fresh revelation. Change our mindset. Renew our minds this morning that we might see and hear and function with your perspective on things. Lord, may there be faith in our hearts, O God, to lay hold of your word and to apply your word to our lives. And Father, may we be touched and healed as your word comes forth. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. So we were doing a series, and we will continue it, the series on hindrances to the flow. And we'll have to pick it up, I don't know when, sometime later on. But this morning, I just wanted to start something new, partly because of what Sean Strong shared last week, and more importantly because of what's coming up this weekend. This weekend, we have the Kingdom Encounter Conference. Last week, Sean Strong shared on the Double for Your Trouble and highlighted various ways in which we need to lay hold of what God has given to us. So this series is about the Kingdom of God. And I've called it The Kingdom of God is at Hand, because 4 years ago I shared one on the Kingdom of God. And so as not to confuse people, I decided to call it The Kingdom of God is at Hand. And so this morning I want to share about the invasion of the Kingdom of God has already begun. And it's important then, I believe, for us to have a worldview. We need to have a different worldview so we can realize and see where God's kingdom is at work. And so that's the goal, that's the aim this morning, is to get us to see that, Lord, I need you to give me a fresh worldview. I need you, oh God, to give me an outlook that is similar to yours in terms of the kingdom. As I was preparing and looking at scriptures and looking at concordances and stuff, it really dawned on me that the first century Jews had a kingdom outlook. They were under oppression. They were under occupation. The Romans had conquered the Syrians were there before them. And so they had been under occupation for several years, for hundreds of years, actually. And so they were there anticipating and looking for the Messiah to come who would usher in the kingdom of heaven. And so they had different mindsets. Some thought that the Messiah would come riding on the clouds. And that's why Christ made reference to that when he was being questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees just before his death, that they're going to see him come on the clouds of heaven. So some thought he's going to come like that. Some thought he's going to come basically as one from the line of David, but one who's going to come as a king and who's going to defeat the enemies. And the kingdom of light is going to defeat the kingdom of darkness. The Essenes who lived out in the desert, they saw him coming as one who's going to restore the rightful priesthood, because the priesthood had become corrupt. But they were all anticipating and looking for the kingdom of God to come, looking for the Messiah to come, would usher in the kingdom. And when you read the Gospels, especially Matthew's Gospel, it's the same thing in Luke. You just take a concordance, or if you have a computer, it's even better, and you just type in the word kingdom, and look at how it comes across in the Gospels, and you'd be amazed. You start to realize that these writers had a kingdom worldview. They were looking at things through the eyes of the kingdom of God. As I was looking through Matthew's Gospel, you know, you all know Matthew's Gospel has 28 chapters. And it's perhaps only 6 chapters that the word kingdom doesn't appear. But even when the word doesn't appear, the principles are there. You know, it's like talking to somebody who likes football. And you might say, not an hour goes by and they don't mention the word football. And lo and behold, an hour goes by and the person says, see, I didn't mention football. But you say, yeah, you didn't mention the word football, but you're talking about a quarterback. You thought about a fumble. It's still football principles. And so even in the chapters where the word kingdom is not mentioned, kingdom principles are still there. Because it's all about the kingdom of God and the invasion of the kingdom of God into our lives and into the sphere of life. So when you read Matthew's gospel, for example, in Matthew chapter 2, and I'm just going to run through a few things here just to help to crystallize these things in our minds. In Matthew chapter 2, it starts by talking about a king. But the truth is, if there's a king, there has to be a kingdom. You see? And so there's even a principle from that, because God has made you and me to be kings and priests unto God, which means we need to know which domain God has called us to function in and how the authority of God needs to flow through us into our sphere of kingdom living. But before, that has to come later on in the series, but to understand this idea of a king means there has to be a kingdom. And so when the Magi came in Matthew chapter 2 and they said to Herod, where is he who's born king of the Jews? And we have mentioned that before, what that means, that he wasn't born to become king. That normally a person is born as prince, like Prince Charles waiting for his mother to die. You'll never become king until she dies, and who knows? Because they always sing over there in England, long live the queen. But Matthew's trying to show that no, the king had come on the scene, and the Magi, the wise men, came looking for the king. And when they came to Herod, and Herod said, what? And he inquired of the chief priest, where is the Messiah to be born? Because he understood they're talking about the Messiah. And they said in Bethlehem, and therefore he said to them, go and tell, find this child and come back and tell me. Because it says, when Herod heard this, all of Jerusalem was troubled along with Herod. Because Herod realized that if there's another king, then he's in trouble. Can he have two kings? And when there's a king, he's going to bring in his own administration and there's going to be change. We see this even now in our own culture, where there's a new president and therefore there's a new administration. And no matter who you are, if you have a former attorney general somewhere in some state, you have to resign. A new king, a new president is in town, and he has a right to establish his own way of functioning. What is the principle from way back when? So Herod understood this. If there's a new king, then all of you aristocrats who are functioning alongside me are in trouble. And so from the get-go, Matthew is sharing some kingdom ideas there in Matthew chapter 2. And then we have Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Matthew 3 verse 1 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent. Why? The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And so the message of John the Baptist was about the kingdom. That's what this man came preaching. The kingdom is here. The people are expecting the kingdom to come. And he's saying, yes, it's here. It's at hand. The way to enter it is through repentance and accepting the message of God. At least in the time of John, in the time of Christ, became accepting the Messiah. But it's all about the kingdom. We go over into Matthew chapter 4. And it says, you know, you have Jesus being tempted. And right after that, John the Baptist is arrested and put in prison. And Matthew 4 verse 17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach the same message as John, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So John preached the kingdom. Jesus come preaching the kingdom. And suddenly started to dawn on me that maybe we as a church, we have missed out on some stuff. Because the church, we have been trying to teach people, I don't know, 5 principles to be financially successful, 7 principles to be prosperous. Haven't you noticed it? Very few people talking about the kingdom. But that's what Jesus talked about. That's what John talked about. It was all about the kingdom of heaven being at hand. An invasion has started. He came to launch a takeover. How many understand what I'm saying? He didn't come to bring about a compromise. He didn't come to have some diplomatic conversation. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven. And Herod understood that. That's why he was trembling. And not only did Herod understand it, but the whole host of darkness understood it. When Jesus went to the synagogue, the demons started crying and said, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us?" They realized with the invasion of the kingdom of heaven, things are going to change. Matthew 4, verse 23. So Jesus called some disciples. And Matthew 4, 23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So it's not a one-time message. This is what he was preaching. He was preaching all about the kingdom of heaven and demonstrating the fact that the kingdom was now here. Because part of the kingdom living is healing. Part of the kingdom living is seeing the enemy being destroyed in your life and in your circumstances. Those things are not, in other words, sickness, my friends, is not part of the kingdom experience. It's part of the dominion of darkness. Healing is part of the kingdom experience. That's why Christ died. By his stripes have been healed. So that in his kingdom, healing is God's provision. And so I've laid it out there for you. Several chapters in a row in Matthew's gospel. When Jesus started preaching, went up on the mountain, and the disciples came to him and gave a sermon on the mount. It's all about kingdom living. He said, "Blessed are the poor, for what? Theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's all about kingdom living, kingdom experience. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the kingdom. You're going to Matthew chapter 6, and again it's about the kingdom. Disciples come to, well, Matthew doesn't say disciples come to him. Luke says that. But there he's talking about prayer in Matthew 6. And he says, "Listen, let me teach you how to pray." And he says, basically, "Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's teaching the prayer from a kingdom perspective. It's all about the kingdom. And I was amazed as I was looking at it. And so in Matthew 6, he goes on and he says, "Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about food and clothes and a house and that type of thing. That's what the Gentiles seek after. But you seek first what? The kingdom." He says, you seek first the kingdom, and in the kingdom, provision is made for the subjects. So God will take care of those stuff. Your responsibility is to seek first the kingdom. He goes into Matthew chapter 7, and he starts by saying, "Don't judge." But right there, he goes on and says, "False prophets are going to come, and therefore you need to know if they are false by the fruit of their life." And he goes on to say, "Listen, men are going to come to me on that day and say, 'Lord, Lord, did we prophesy in your name?' Because he's talking about false prophets and this and that." And he says, "They're not going to enter into the kingdom." Why? Because they weren't living according to my word. And there it is about the kingdom again there in Matthew 7. Those who live by his word will enter into the fullness of his kingdom. So it's all about kingdom living. Matthew 8, the centurion comes to him and says, "I understand. I can see kingdom principles operating in your ministry. You say to this one, you say the word, and it happens." And the centurion is like, "I am part of a kingdom. I'm part of Caesar's kingdom. And I understand when I say to this one, 'Go,' he goes." Because authority is all a part of kingdom. You see? And so he recognized that Jesus' kingdom had come. And therefore, all he wanted was for Christ to speak the word. And Christ said, "Man, I have not seen so much faith, not in all of Israel." And so Christ goes on to say, "You know what? God has opened up this thing so that so much so that the Gentiles are going to come and sit as part of God's kingdom. And some of the sons, some of those who should have inherited the kingdom are going to be kicked out." That's Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 9 goes back and there's a statement made there just like Matthew 4. Saying he went about teaching in their synagogues and in their towns and villages, teaching about the gospel, the good news, the kingdom has come. And was healing and casting out demons. Matthew 10. He sends out his disciples to preach. And what did he tell them to preach? 5 steps to become a better you. No, he says, go and preach, the kingdom is here. And to show that the kingdom is here, heal the sick, cast out demons, because it's time for the kingdom. Isn't that interesting? Matthew 11, it says, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent men are taking it by force. So it goes back to this kingdom principle that there has to be a certain mindset. When the kingdom comes, that there's a certain violent mindset you have to have. You can't be passive in the kingdom. Matthew 12, it says, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. In other words, it's a kingdom displacement thing that's happening when the demons are cast out. Matthew 13, he spends a lot of the chapters teaching principles of the kingdom, parables of the kingdom. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like this and the kingdom of heaven is like that. One of the parables I like in Matthew 8 is a parable of the treasure found in the field. So, Matthew 13, the parable of the treasure. Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. And so it suddenly dawned on me that the treasure, it says it there, but for some reason, the treasure is the kingdom. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure that a man found in the field. We have likened it to say the kingdom of heaven, the treasure is Jesus, which he is. But Matthew is saying, no, it's much more than just Jesus. It's a kingdom of heaven. Because when Christ comes, he's not coming just to sit back and allow you to do your own thing. He's coming as king, and he wants his kingdom to be established in your life. So isn't that amazing? And then it says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he finds his fine pearl, he sells everything and go and buy it. Because the kingdom is so valuable. You wanna embrace it, and you're willing to lay down everything else to experience the kingdom of God in your life and in your circumstances. Man. Matthew 14 and 15, you have the principles of the kingdom being mentioned, not the kingdom itself. Matthew 16, he comes to Peter and he says, who do people say that I am? And after the powerful confession, you are the Son of God, you are the Messiah, Jesus says to him, all right, I'm going to give you what? The keys of what? The kingdom. And it goes on. I put there in the notes that from chapter 18 through the 26, every single chapter mentions something about the kingdom, because it goes on to talk about kingdom parables, kingdom living. And when you look at it, you realize, oh, Matthew, your perspective is all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom of God coming. So what has happened to the church? You know, we're spending time telling people how to, I don't know, be more successful at, I don't know, making money or something. And we have not been teaching them about the kingdom. So what is this kingdom? What does the word kingdom really mean? See? And so I put there several ways of understanding the word kingdom. It can refer to a sphere or a region. It is used that way in the scripture. It talks about Cush, who went out and he built a kingdom in a certain region, and tells you the physical location of his kingdom. And so the word kingdom can refer to a very specific location. For us, the Romans tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it is in the realm of the Spirit of Almighty God. But when we're praying, we're saying, thy kingdom come on earth, and that will be done as it is in heaven. So we understand that in heaven, the kingdom of God has already been established. And what we wanted to see then is that perfect will of God, that understanding of who God is, the purpose of God being established here on earth, in my life and in your life, and in our circumstances. The word kingdom can refer to the reign or the sovereign rule of a king. And so when Saul had disobeyed God, God said to him, you know what, your kingdom is no longer going to last. Your rule and your reign is not going to last forever, as I had told you before. And so the word kingdom came from the rule or reign. And so in the purpose of God, we're talking about God ruling and reigning in your life, in your circumstances. The word kingdom can refer to the subjects of a king. The people who have submitted themselves willingly to a king. And we see that in Genesis 20, when Abimelech had taken Abraham's wife and God struck them. Abimelech says, "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Because now you have caused all sort of things to happen to the people in my kingdom, to my kingdom." In other words, those who are submitted to me are experiencing God's judgment because of my actions. And so the kingdom can refer to the subjects, which all of us know is more than just the church. Because the kingdom of God in heaven includes the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims. So the kingdom of God is bigger than the church. And so when the king is about to function, they call him the Lord of hosts. The host of heaven is there to back up what the king says. Elisha understood this when Elisha was surrounded by the enemies and his servant was worried. He says, "Don't worry about that. Lord, open his eyes so he can see that there are more that are with us than are against us." It's a kingdom thing. Jesus said to Pilate, Pilate asked him, "So, you hear what they're saying?" And Jesus says, "Listen, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants, my subjects would be fighting right now." In other words, Jesus is saying that where my kingdom functions, the will of God has been established, and anything that is contrary to the will of God is going to be destroyed. And so Pilate understood the concept of kingdom, so he says, "So you're a king then?" And Jesus says, "Yes, what you have said is right, I'm a king. And my kingdom exists in the spiritual realm as making an invasion into the earth, and lives are being changed, and the powers of darkness are being cast down." The word kingdom can refer to government, and this is the one I like. From Isaiah chapter 9, going back to the Old Testament. Isaiah speaks a lot about the kingdom of God, in case you don't realize it yet. Scripture we always read at Christmas time, Isaiah 9 verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his kingdom," say increase. Increase. "Of the increase of his," no, didn't say kingdom, "of the increase of his government," sorry, "and peace, there will be no end." Say no end. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And so what Isaiah the prophet here is saying is that the kingdom of God is talking about the government of God. Now, we don't like the word government. You see, that's part of the problem with us in this part of the world. We don't like the word government. We like the word me. Me and my family. We don't want government to be too involved in our lives and our fears. And there might be a place for that politically in terms of human politics. And I'm not trying to talk about human politics. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. But because of what we see around us and how we function around us, many people just don't like the word government. Have you ever noticed how we pray? I mean, I've been doing this when I was in a youth. We used to sing the song, "More love, more power, more of you in my life." How many of you know that song? And we like those songs. And those songs, we need to continue to sing them. And we need to cry out and say, "Lord, more, more, more." Well, it says of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. You notice we're not praying, "Lord, more of your government in my life." You know, so it don't feel nice and cozy. You say, "Lord, move your garment in my life." But when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, "Pray in this way, thy kingdom come and thy will be done." Shouldn't it start first in my life? "Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, I want to experience more of your kingdom in my life. Let me align myself with your will and your purposes." Amen. Then you realize you have a different mindset. It's no longer just me and the Lord and me feeling cozy and me rocking around. Now it's me realizing, oh, the king demands some stuff from me as a subject. The king has an agenda for my life, and I need to align myself with it. You see what I'm saying? And so in the church, we've become so cozy with little, just me and God alone in my little corner. And I don't want anybody to say anything to me, not even the Lord himself, because it has to be done according to what I feel like. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you want to have a kingdom mindset, you've got to have change. It's all about the king and the kingdom. What does the king require of me? How am I going to serve the King today? What is your will, Lord, in my life? So when Jesus teaches disciples to pray, they got it. They realize he's talking about the kingdom. And of course, they still didn't realize he was talking about the actual rule and reign of God. They were still expecting a physical manifestation. So much so, after Jesus was resurrected and he's talking to them for 40 days about the kingdom, Peter says, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time to Israel? And Christ is like, oh boy. It's not for you to know the time when that physical kingdom is going to be established, but your job is to go forth and proclaim the good news about who Christ is and the good news of the kingdom. So people can now willingly enter into his kingdom, experience the benefits of kingdom living. It's a different way of thinking and functioning. The government of God at work in my life and your circumstances. You see, there's something about the word government. Somehow government don't seem to want to ask us questions and get our approval. You notice it? It doesn't matter who it is, whether it be politically, whether it be this administration or the previous one. Just make an order and that's it. Thank God we have balances in our earthly system. But you can imagine when the King of Kings says, this is it, then this is it. And that's why when you and I pray, all we need to do is to hear what heaven is saying and to proclaim what heaven is saying, and it will be done. So he said to Peter, I've given you the keys. Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in the heavens, and it will be done because it's kingdom word, kingdom purposes, kingdom principles at work. You see, when you realize you're a child of the kingdom, when you realize you're an ambassador of the kingdom, when you realize authority as you and I have been given as citizens of the kingdom, we think and function differently. Because when I speak the kingdom word and the kingdom will, the whole host of heaven comes to fulfill it. You see it in the natural. Whether you agree with a policy or not, when the president says, this is what I want for immigration, it just takes effect. So you can imagine that now in a spiritual realm, when Jesus says, this is it, it just takes effect. And all you and I need to do is to align ourselves with the purposes of God, with the will of God, and allow God's kingdom to be established in our life and in our circumstances. It's a kingdom mindset. It's no longer just about me and my little family. It's something bigger than me now. You realize what I'm saying? God's kingdom is bigger than me and my little petty issues. Whoa, where did the time go? The kingdom then equals enforcement of a king's will and values. Enforcement of a king's will and values. 1 Corinthians 15:24, this is what Paul says. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. It says, Christ must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So Christ has been established as king. Psalm 2 says that. I have established my king in Zion. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, says, all authority has been given unto me. That's kingdom language. And I'm going to reign, and all the enemies who are there are going to have to submit to my kingdom, submit to my rule, submit to my will. So he must reign until all his enemies become his footstool, and then he's going to hand over the kingdom to the Father. We are living in that era where the kingdom of God is increasing, where the purpose of God is spreading through the earth, and men and women are experiencing the invasion of God into their lives and into their circumstances. Thousands are being saved in the Middle East, being set free from the dominion of darkness, just like you and I, and being translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Colossians chapter 1. It's kingdom activity. And of course, the kingdom refers to God's future kingdom coming in its fullness, being established physically here on earth. And in Isaiah, he makes reference to this, talking about the wolf and the lamb lying down together. There will be a future reign. In Revelation, it says, the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. That's where we're going towards. But right now, the kingdom has already started an invasion. Right now, lives are being transformed. Right now, things are happening supernaturally to show us that God is here and his purposes will be established in the earth. So Paul says the kingdom of God is not just words, but it's God's reign and God's power. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. The kingdom of God is seen when the power of God is demonstrated. The kingdom of God is seen when somebody experiences the true salvation. Because you have to be born into the kingdom. So that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You have to be born again to enter into the kingdom. But even when you enter the kingdom, you still have to be able to see the kingdom at work. You have to have the kingdom worldview, kingdom perspective, so you can see the kingdom of God at work. And so even in the natural, you might see some stuff and you realize, no, the kingdom of God is at work. In Hebrews, the writer says that everything is going to be shaken. Everything is going to be shaken so that that which remains, which is the kingdom of God, will remain. That cannot be shaken. And so when you look at the fears of men, you can see, oh, so God, you're trying to get men to realize that all of their human stuff is just temporary and it's going to fall, but your kingdom is going to remain and stand firm even unto the end. When the Bible tells us the lifestyle of those who inherit the kingdom and those who won't, that's what the king says. The king says if you live in sin, if you're involved in adultery, if you're involved in homosexual lifestyle, he says you cannot inherit the kingdom. That's what the king says. Now you can go and argue in your little corner and debate in your coffee shop. It doesn't make a lick of a difference. The king has said it. And that settles it. You understand what I'm saying, friends? No, I might empathize with you, and in my own human ways of thinking, I might say, well, I don't see, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you know what? This is what the king says. And that settles it. It's his kingdom. He's the one who rules and he reigns. He establishes the principles. He establishes the ground rules. And so it doesn't make sense to become a better you if you're living in a way that you won't inherit the kingdom. You might as well align yourself with the king. And if you live in accordance to what the king wants, you will become a better you because he's going to make you into a new creature. The kingdom of God is seen each time you and I demonstrate and use authority that God has given to us, because God has given the authority, the keys of the kingdom to you and me, to the church. And Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. And so I believe that God has partnered with us to see his kingdom extend in the earth. And many times we are the ones there complaining, and God is like, you're my partner, I've given you the authority to use it. He said to them in Luke chapter 10, behold, I give you power to tread upon snakes, upon serpents, upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I have given it to what? You, the power and the authority. So you use it. So if we see some things that don't align itself with kingdom principles and kingdom will, then you and I can pray and exercise authority in the spiritual realm and allow God to invade the earthly realm with his purposes and establish his kingdom. So God has given us the privilege and authority to function and to release his kingdom will into the earth, into my life, into your life, into your family, into your community. That's my dominion. When Philip, when preaching the good news in Samaria in Acts chapter 3, it says he preached the good news of the kingdom and of Christ and cast out demons. When Paul went preaching, he went preaching the good news of the kingdom. Because in the kingdom that the power of God is released, as the message goes forth, God confirms that this kingdom is right here. Each time we see the sick healed and the oppressed go free, the kingdom of God has impacted the life of someone. Jesus says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. As we live righteous lives, we are demonstrating the kingdom. And as we are part of the kingdom, we lay hold of the peace and the joy that there is in the kingdom. A peace and joy that is not based upon external circumstances, but based upon us experiencing the kingdom of God in our lives. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. You see, friends, when we start to preach this kingdom message, it comes across differently. It comes across like God is not joking. God is serious. This thing is bigger than you. Either align yourself or you get thrown to the side. But it's going to move through any way you want, whether you realize it or not. It's coming. He's going to establish his kingdom, whether or not you like it. How many of you realize what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if politicians don't like it. His kingdom is being established. Chinese government don't like it, but thousands upon thousands are experiencing the invasion of the kingdom of God into their lives right now. In Iran, the Iranian government don't like it, but thousands are experiencing the invasion of the kingdom of God into their lives. And the Bible tells me that it's coming a day when all the nations of the world will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and recognize that the kingdom of God has come out in a physical reality in the earth. Friends, what I'm saying is that it's bigger than you and bigger than me. It's time for the church to get away from just, well, you don't want to feel happy. Come and experience Christ. It's more than that. It's about the kingdom of God invading and changing and transforming lives. The rule and reign of God. Jesus being exalted as King. Let us stand. In Galatians, Paul says that people who live by the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you walk by the Spirit and experience the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, which is part of the kingdom living, you're experiencing the increase of the kingdom of God in your life. Let's just bow our heads. Perhaps there's someone in this house this morning, you're saying, Joe Campbell, I'm backslidden. I've walked away from the Lord and I want to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves to the King of Kings. And perhaps you're there and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I realize I need to have a kingdom worldview. I realize my worldview has been too much based upon my own like personal circumstances. But I realize I need to have a kingdom worldview. Would you pray for me? So that God will help me to renew my mind to see things from a kingdom perspective. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? Saying, Lord, give me a kingdom perspective. I see several hands. A kingdom perspective on things. It's not about me and my family anymore. It's something bigger. I'm caught up into something bigger than myself. It's ushering of the kingdom of God in the earth. Father, I see those hands that were raised. Father, I pray that you'll do more than they could ever ask or think. That Father, you might give them a kingdom perspective, a kingdom faith. Lord God, a kingdom, an ability to see things from your kingdom perspective. That when they pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. They realize they're calling on the host of heaven to function in the earth. They realize they're calling down, oh God, your authority in the earth. They realize, oh God, that as they seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that you take care of the mundane things that we need. They realize that worry and anxiety is not a part of kingdom living. And so you have called us not to worry about even tomorrow, but to seek first your kingdom, to seek first your rule and your reign, to seek first your government being established in our lives and in our circumstances. And so Lord, I pray for those, oh God, who raise their hands, that Father, the spirit of wisdom and revelation might give them this kingdom worldview, to see your will already established, and to speak and see your will come into being manifest here on earth. Lord, that's how we were taught to pray. That's how we were taught to pray, Lord. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Lord, that's how your church functioned. Proclaiming the message of the kingdom. Lord, I pray for those, oh God, who have circumstances that need to align itself with the will of Almighty God. That, Father God, you might give them the faith and give them, oh God, the strength to speak your word into their circumstances and to see their circumstances align itself with the will of God. Lord, for those who are sick, oh God, Lord, we speak the kingdom word of healing into their bodies. That your kingdom might invade their bodies, oh God, and cause their bodies to align itself with the will of heaven. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in their physical bodies, we pray, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we think of those whose children have gone astray. Lord, I pray that the kingdom principles might be at work and they might come back home to be a child of the kingdom. Lord, may your spirit give them no peace and no rest until they yield in submission to you, mighty God. Lord, for all of us, I pray. Lord, we want more of your kingdom, more of your government to be at work in our lives. More of your government, Lord. More of your government to be at work in our lives, oh God. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, again, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you, God, that there's something bigger than us that's at work. Your kingdom is being established. Lord, we thank you, declare that of the increase of your government and peace, there shall be no end. And so, Lord, we pray, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom increase, not only in our own lives, O God, but in our community, in this nation. Let your kingdom increase, O God. Let your kingdom increase, O God, in the countries of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, may Christ be exalted. May Christ be seen as a rightful King. Father, I pray, may every other name bow to the name of Jesus Christ, whether they be thrones or dominions. Oh God, may they all bow to the name of Jesus Christ all across the earth, oh God. May your kingdom invade and continue to invade and bring about a change in the life and circumstances of people. Father God, you still rule and you still reign in human affairs. Let it be so, mighty God. And Father, for us as kingdom citizens, oh God, kingdom subjects, help us, oh God, to operate with kingdom faith. To realize, oh God, the authority that you have given unto us as your church, as your child, a joint heir with Christ. That, Lord God, we might be about a kingdom business. Help us, oh God, to operate with kingdom love. So the world might understand that there's a God who loves them and who cares about them, but who has already established his will and his purposes. Lord, as we leave here, go with us. Lord, may your spirit rest upon us. Lord, may your word be nigh us, even in our own mouths, oh God. And as we open it and speak, may we see, oh God, your will being established. May we see lives being changed. May we see people being drawn to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we declare to you belongs all the honor and all the glory and all dominion and might. To you belongs the kingdom. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, and amen.